Revelation chapter 9. Two weeks ago, we watched and listened as the fifth angel blew his trumpet and judgment fell on the earth. We saw that Satan was sent to the earth not to do his own bidding, but to do the will of God by opening the doors of the great abyss. When the doors were opened to the great abyss, smoke darkened the sky and demons resembling a horde of locusts in multitude came out of the abyss. We learned that these demons were given authority to harm men on the earth who had not yet accepted Christ as their personal Savior for 5 months. They could torment them, but they couldn't kill them. We also learned that these creatures looked very unusual and nothing like them had ever been seen on the earth before, as they were inflicting pain on the inhabitants of the earth. People will be looking for every possible direction as to what these creatures are and where they came from. And the only document that will give any indication or any direction is the Bible, the Word of God, specifically the book of Revelation. Many will come to Christ, but there is still two more woe judgments to come. So let's pick up our reading in Revelation chapter 9, verse 13. The sixth angel blew his trumpet from the four horns of the golden altar that is before God. I heard a voice say to the sixth angel who had a trumpet, "Release the four angels bound at the great river Euphrates." So the four angels were prepared, for the hour, day, month, and year were released to kill a third of the human race. The number of mounted troops was 200 million. I heard their number. This is how I saw the horses in my vision. The horsemen had breastplates that were fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. The heads of the horses were like lions' heads, and their mouths were like came fire, smoke, and sulfur. A third of the human race was killed by these three plagues, by fire, the smoke, and the sulfur that came from their mouths. For the power of the horses is in their mouths and their tails, because their tails, like snakes, have heads and they inflict injury with them. The rest of the people who were who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands to stop worshiping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, and stone, wood, which were not able to see, hear, or walk. They did not repent of their murders, their sorceries, their sexual immorality, or their thefts. Let's pray. Fathers, we come into your presence tonight. Lord, we ask you once again to give us clarity of thought and clarity of mind. Lord, this is somewhat difficult scripture to accept, to see, to ingest, to digest. God, I pray that you would just give us clarity of thought, a peace of mind. God, as we look at this scripture to know what's going to be taking place here on this earth after the church is raptured. Lord, it's not pleasant. It's not pleasant at all. And Lord, may it light a fire within us to be everything you created us to be. In Christ Jesus' name we do pray. And God, all God's children said, amen. Excuse me. As we look at this scripture, we need to see what is it that John sees. What is it that John sees? John first saw the sixth angel blow his trumpet. When the angel did blow his trumpet, a voice was heard from the gold altar that is before God. This is what John writes. The last time we saw this altar was in Revelation 8:3. Let's remember what was taking place. Revelation 8:3 says, another angel with a golden incense burner came and stood at the altar, same altar. He was given a large amount of incense to offer offer with the prayers of all the saints on the gold altar in front of the throne. The smoke of the incense was the prayers of the saints went up in the presence of God from the angel's hand. The angel took the incense burner, filled it with fire from the altar and hurled it to the earth. There were thunders, rumbles, lightnings, and an earthquake. And the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to blow them. Warren Wiersbe says this about the golden altar. It was at the golden altar of incense that the angel offered the prayers of the saints. Now from the same altar a voice speaks commanding the four angels be loosed. John Phillips says the prayers of the saints on earth are still being answered in an unexpected way in the eyes of man, but answered just the same. Now, do you remember what those prayers were? Do you remember the saints when they were praying to God, what those prayers were? Well, flip back real quick to chapter 6, verse 10. Verse 9 says, let's read verse 9. It says, chapter 6, verse 9, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those slaughtered because of God's word and the testimony they had. This was their cry. They cried out with a loud voice, O Lord, holy and true, how long until you judge and avenge our blood from those who live on this earth? So their cry was for not for their revenge, but for God's revenge. For all mankind who had thumbed their nose at God and thumbed their nose at Jesus, they were crying out, how long will you wait? How long will you wait? Church, tonight we're seeing God relenting and saying, listen, it's over. We see a voice coming from this same altar, and right before this devastation takes place, we hear a voice commanding and giving permission to these angels who are bound to be unbound. This is not a good thing. This is not a good thing at all. John then hears the voice and what the voice says. The voice gives a command. Release the four angels bound at the great river Euphrates. Now we need to remember, when we see this great river Euphrates, this was the center of creation. This is where everything took place. We go all the way back to Genesis. Okay? This is something God established many, 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 many years ago. It's also on the edge of the land the Hebrew children established, and Israel today. Okay? So he says, release the four angels bound at the great river Euphrates. John Phillips, Warren Wiersbe, and Tim LaHaye all agree that these angels were and are wicked angels that fell when Satan fell from heaven. Phillips says, Peter and Jude both tell of certain angels who sinned beyond the measure of their fellows and who were and are at present kept imprisoned by God. Wiersbe says these angels are apparently wicked because no holy angel would be bound. Each of the four angels would be in charge of a vast army that follows them. If we were to divide them equally, each one of these bound angels would be directing 500,000 troops on their own. That's tremendous. Do you see the vastness of what's taking place? It's absolutely tremendous in number. Now, the purpose of those who were released is now heard by John. And that purpose was to kill one-third of the existing population on the earth. At this point during the tribulation, we've almost reached the halfway point of 3.5 years. The commentators that I'm reading tell us that the end of this trumpet judgment over one half of the world's population that was alive after the rapture of the church will now be dead. Think about this. The church is raptured. All is chaos just from the rapture. They're trying to explain just the rapture. Fast forward 3.5 years, and over half of the earth's population is dead. Is that not startling? Does that shake you in any way whatsoever at all? Listen, we as Christians should be we shouldn't be hesitant in witnessing to people, to be what God created us to be. But listen to me, once the rapture takes place, that urgency within us, I mean, we're gone. You get me? We have this precept, well, you know, we can do it later. We can do it tomorrow. No, you can't. Do you realize that if the rapture took place tonight, that 3.5 years after what we're is what's going to be taking place? This is going to be taking place. A half of the world's population will be gone. Church, we need to get busy. Do you feel the urgency? I hope you do. I don't know how you can be a Christian and not feel the urgency in what we're reading tonight. Church, this is dark. This is gloomy. This is a picture of doom for those who will not accept Jesus today. Why in the world would anybody not accept Jesus today? This is reason why they shouldn't. Why they should accept Jesus today. I wouldn't want anybody, even somebody I hated, somebody who intentionally wanted to do harm to me and my family. Mr. Gary, I wouldn't want them to go through this. Not for a second, not for an hour. There's no way. Now, this is gloomy. This is really gloomy. Now, Miss Donna, I have some light. You ask for some light. I want to give you some light, okay? This is not good at all, what we're seeing take place. Now, I want to give you a beautiful picture right now in the midst of all this despair, if I can. We see John presenting tonight. He presented a very large number who will be devastated with the sixth trumpet judgment. And that number was, you know, he sees 200 million. It's unbelievable, the number. But I want us to recall another number just for a moment. Let's look back at Revelation chapter 7. Look at Revelation 7 and verse 9. Remember with me what John saw this day. After this, I looked, and there was a vast multitude from every nation, tribe, and people, and language, which no one could number, standing before the throne of the Lamb. They were robed in white with palm branches in their hands, and they cried out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." Church, God is still at the point of trying to reach those who are lost. But that time will soon come to an end. We have a beautiful picture, and the picture that I want you to see is this. John saw a vast number tonight. But in chapter 7, he saw another number that couldn't be counted. Who were those? Those who had been saved, what scholars call tribulation saints. Now, he could number what he saw tonight, but he couldn't number the tribulation saints. That means during tribulation, during the time of tribulation, there is going to be an uncountable number of people who accept Christ as their personal Savior. That's great. We need to be praying for those people right now. We need to be doing everything we can for those people to accept them. I've told you, write notes in your Bible. Leave your Bible where it can be found, because you're going to be gone, right? Leave your Bible where it can be found. Leave notes on the refrigerator. Accept Jesus today. You're going to be gone. Do everything you can to point people in that direction. Not only lost friends in social media, lost friends that you work and you encounter with, do everything you can, possibly can, right now and for the rest of your life, to point people in the right direction when you're gone. Hey, listen, even your tombstones. You know, that's going to be our last testimony, right? When the church is raptured, the grave's going to be empty. Right, you know, you see all kinds of crazy stuff written on tombstones. Well, write something crazy on yours. This grave will one day be an empty hole because of Jesus Christ. And give Revelation chapter 9, I mean, give some sort of scripture representation pointing back to this. Why would I do that, Brother Kyle? Because they're going to be looking for answers. And when you're looking for answers, you're going to find an answer. Amen? And they need the truth. They need the truth. John then gives us a brief description of the riders of the horses and then the horses themselves. Our commentators tell us that our focus needs to be more on the horses than on the riders, as the horses are the ones that will be the instruments of destruction during the sixth trumpet judgment. Look at verse 17. Look at verse 17. This is how I saw the horses in my vision. The horsemen had breastplates, and their fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. The heads of the horses were like lions' heads, and from their mouths came fire, smoke, and sulfur. Now, those who look at this scripture as symbolic vary greatly as to what the judgment can and will bring. But those of us who look at this judgment as literal, this is just another example of something that is coming that man cannot explain in any other fashion but coming from God Himself. And if man can't explain it, and just like last week when we looked at the demons coming out that had hair like woman, teeth like a lion's teeth, it had a scorpion tail, and it lasted for 5 months. It lasted the same cycle of life that an actual locust had. Where are they going to find an answer for that? Only the Word of God. The Word of God is the only thing that's going to be able to point them in the right direction. Church, tonight, if you take this scripture from a literal perspective, and John doesn't present it to us in any other way, in any other fashion for us to see, but from a literal perspective, when these beings come in, where are they going to look for an answer? Where are they going to find an answer? In the Word of God. They're not going to find an answer in the Discovery Channel, National Geographic. They're not going to find any other answer but the Word of God. Specifically, the book of Revelation. Specifically, the book of Revelation, chapter 9, verses 13 through 21. They're going to find an answer there. Church, we need to take a big step back and remember what we saw in Revelation 6, verse 1 and 2, when the first of the seven seals were broken. Let's look back just quickly at chapter 6. It says, "Then I saw the Lamb open one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say with a voice like thunder, 'Come.' I looked, and there was a white horse. The horseman on it had a bow and a crown that was given to him." He didn't earn it. "And he went out as a victor to conquer." Well, who was that? Who did we say that was? That was the Antichrist. Okay, has he been here all along as we've studied? Yes, he's been on the earth all along as we've moved forward. Now, we need to remember that through all of this, all this time, the Antichrist has been working just as God has. He had promised peace, and his actions may have been viewed as peaceful. We need to realize that he has been the one the world has looked to for answers for all of these judgments. Everything that has taken place from the seals being broken up to this sixth trumpet judgment, he has been looked at for the voice of reason. For everything that's taken place. He has been a voice of reason, giving seemingly rational explanation to all the world's troubles. But all of that is about to change. He's been the person they've looked to. Y'all remember years ago when there'd be a mass earthquake, they would ask Dr. Graham, "Dr. Graham, is this a sign of the end of times?" Y'all remember? I mean, they were always looking for a godly reason for what was taking place. Y'all notice that doesn't take place anymore? It doesn't. They don't care. These people, when all this is taking place, they're going to be looking for this Antichrist to give them a rational explanation as to what's taking place. Tonight that's going to end. Brother Kyle, what are you talking about? Tonight that's going to end. Look at verse 20. "The rest of the people who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands to stop worshiping demons. They did not. Would not. And idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, wood, which are not able to see, hear, or walk. And they did not repent of the murders, their sorceries, their sexual immorality, or their thefts. Now, I want us to spend just a little bit of time here. Well, Brother Kyle, what are you talking about? They would not repent. Do you see that we're being conditioned? And I've said that many times as we've studied this scripture. Well, let me just get to this next point, then I'll hit that. Why, church, why in the world would anyone who is still alive on this earth not right now accept Christ as their personal Savior? They're being deceived into believing that the practice of doing what is described in verse 20 and 21 would bring a stop to the world's devastation. Well, who would be giving them that kind of information? The Antichrist. He's going to be sitting in the background and say, listen, if you'll just do this and do this and do this and do this, all of this devastation will stop. If you'll start serving God, or you'll start doing this, or you'll start doing this and this, all this devastation will stop. Church, they believed a lie that either was being told to them directly by the Antichrist, or at very best, the Antichrist was not telling them that what they were doing was wrong. Can we see today that we're being conditioned to accept what is seen in verses 20 and verses 21? Are there any indicators that are telling us that we're being conditioned to accept things like what we're seeing tonight? Yes. Yeah. You look at politicians. There are a lot of our politicians who are telling us don't do this and don't do that. We're killing all our natural resources. Do y'all realize? Do you listen to me? I love animals. I am a nature loving person. But do you realize it's almost like $100,000 fine to touch an eagle's egg? A spotted owl's egg, but you can kill a baby in a heartbeat for $200. It's free. Are we being conditioned? Yeah. Listen, in Africa today, millions of people are suffering from HIV and AIDS. Do you know that there's certain tribes that have come up with a remedy to cure AIDS? And it's spreading like wildfire, and the people are believing it. You know what it is? If you will have sexual relations with a child, you will take their purity and it will cure your AIDS. Are we being conditioned? Yeah, we really are. That seems awful extravagant. Church, listen to me. AIDS is a terrible epidemic. I mean, I remember in the 80s. Y'all remember how bad it was in America? That's just one thing. You think with me here for a second. You look in 3.5 years, all the seal judgments that are going to come. Up to this point, 6 trumpet judgments have been blown. You're talking about one thing. Our world went crazy with AIDS. How about Ebola 2 years ago? Not Ebola. What was that came from Africa? What was that virus? It was Ebola? I mean, hey, listen. How about that mosquito virus that's coming up from South America? People are going crazy about it. But think with me. When all of this devastation comes around, they're going to be looking for answers, and they're going to want to know something and something now, something quick. We're being conditioned to accept things that the Antichrist is going to bring into effect. Church, it's going to get scary. Now let me ask, why in the world would anyone want to be alive during this day? Why? If you don't accept Christ today, you're going to live through this. Oh, I can handle it. No, you can't. I'm a survivor. You cannot survive through this. Is there anybody who would want their neighbor to go through this? Somebody they work through go through this? Scripture says today is the day of salvation. Why in the world would we as Christians not love people enough to warn them that if they do not turn to God now, they're doomed? They're doomed. I said this a couple of weeks ago, and I want to insert this now. Please understand here. We're seeing all these national debates on, you know, these presidential debates. Who's right? Who's wrong? You know, are you a conservative? Are you a liberal? Are you a Democrat? Are you a Republican? Listen to me. If Scripture lines up, which I believe it does, and the fig tree became in season on May 14th, 1948, it doesn't matter who the president is. He's going to be leading this nation, and our world is going to be heading towards doom. What we're seeing, we need to be prepared, and we need to prepare as many people as we possibly can to avoid this. You know, I imagine, what kind of hateful person would we have been if we had foreknowledge of what took place at Pearl Harbor? We knew that the planes were coming. We knew that the Japanese were coming. And we told absolutely nobody. We didn't go running up and down the docks, ringing bells, telling everybody to wake up, man their guns. What kind of person would we be? What kind of person would we be if we had foreknowledge on September the 10th of 2001 that two planes were going to be flown into the World Trade Centers? We knew this. We went back in time. And instead of going to build and stopping people saying, don't go up in there, don't go, and warning the police officers, don't go up in the building, it's going to collapse. What kind of people would we be? Church, you have the same foreknowledge of the greatest devastation that's ever going to take place on this earth. You know. What are you doing with it? Why aren't you warning people? Why aren't you telling people? Well, people will think I'm crazy. If you tell them you're a Christian, they already think you're crazy. What are they going to think of you when they're living through this and they realize that Jesus was the answer and you didn't tell them? Church, God does not desire any of us suffering. We must choose God today, to serve Him and to accept Him. Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we love You and we praise You. We thank You for tonight. We thank You for John. We thank You for giving John this insight that we might, You created us to warn people. God, thank You for that. Help us to be about Your business. Lord, we don't want to scare people, but we want people to know what's coming, that they'll be prepared. God, please, I pray that You would use us as instruments in this church tonight to start one last great revival across America. God, I pray that You would have one last great, tremendous harvest because we've read Your Word. We believe Your Word is true. And we don't want our loved ones to suffer through it. God, use us as Your vehicles to start this harvest and to start this revival. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, the altar's here tonight. If you need to come.